I'm going to do a little rearranging of the furniture for a second. I have to wear glasses these days, so I need somewhere to put them. So I'm just going to drag this over. I've been in denial for a long time, but I have to wear them. Happy Sabbath, Corona Church. It is good to see you. But I understand something now after the announcement this morning. I've been getting these little invitations to the brunch in my office. And I see now that in the bulletin you said, if you want to send some, send them to members you haven't seen for a while. So I guess some of you think I've been missing a while. This is home. And it was wonderful to walk in this morning and have several of you greet me and just say, welcome home. Welcome to your church. And I know that even though my membership is here, and I don't get here very often with my heavy Sabbath responsibilities around the conference, I think of you often and I pray for you. And truly, still consider this my home. So thank you for welcoming me this morning. It's been a busy week in Southeastern California Conference. I've been joining you and praying for Pastor Tabor as he's off ministering to his family in the midst of his own grief this weekend as his father's services are taking place. But I told him I would be more than happy to come today and spend this Sabbath with you as he is out of town, and I know Jana is enjoying, I hope, her maternity leave and that new baby that you all will be able to help encourage and provide a wonderful church family for, a new pastor's child. But it has been a busy week in Southeastern, even in the midst of the Christmas preparation and holidays. We've had meetings and committees, and day and night, God is at work. We had our executive committee this week choosing a lot of transfers for some of our pastors in our conference. And this week, we voted for you to have a new sister. A new sister. Just up north, there'll be a new church in our conference. We've adopted it from Southern, a Filipino church that actually meets in our territory. And this week, we adopted you a new sister church, a wonderful group of worshiping people on up the 15 freeway. I enjoy what I do. It gives an amazing opportunity to continue to see the big picture of what God is doing in the midst of all of our worshiping congregations. And it's wonderful to be with you today and continue to notice what God is doing right here. In Corona. The Christmas season, I've been in denial a little bit as it started because it's been busy this week. I haven't put up one decoration at my house. I haven't bought one Christmas present yet, but I know it's coming quickly. The last several years, I've tried to take some time this time of year as things slow down a little bit for us and travel. So I've last year went to Germany the end of the December month and enjoyed the Christmas markets, feasted on gingerbread and roasted chestnuts and had a wonderful time. The year before that, I went to Austria. Enjoyed the snow of Vienna and Salzburg. And I was thinking this week about another Christmas a couple of years ago where I traveled with a group of youth and high school young adult students from our conference all over the Pacific Union, actually, to Thailand. The General Conference had planned a two-week event in the country of Thailand for youth from all over the world. In the first week, we could choose a mission project. I know you all love those here. We chose from the Pacific Union to build a community center in a little hill tribe village up in northern Thailand. And then the second week, after Christmas, all the groups from all over the world joined in Bangkok for just a wonderful time of inspiration together. So I, along with youth from all over our union, spent Christmas in this little village in the mountains of Thailand. My dear secretary had done a lot of work of preparation and had made stockings for each one of the kids with their name on them and filled them with goodies and trinkets. And while they were sleeping, I snuck into their rooms and stuck them above their beds. And I went to bed looking forward to a Christmas day in a little village in northern Thailand, celebrating the birth of Jesus in a very strange place to us. As I was sleeping, I was downstairs in a little tiny room with all the girls above me and all the boys in rooms beside me and other adults right next to me. I heard scattering of feet above me. It was still dark out, early in the morning, a Christmas day. I wondered what the girls were up to. Didn't take but just a few moments till I heard singing outside the window. The girls came down about 5 o'clock in the morning while it was still dark and started singing. Silent night, holy night, away in a manger. These high school kids, far away from home at Christmas time, waking us up gently in a new day to remember what this day held. It was one of the most magnificent Christmases I've ever had. We rode elephants that day through the rainforest and jungle and ate vegelinks that I had packed away for a special Christmas dinner. A break from rice, and the kids thought it was fantastic. But as we were celebrating this Christmas, this joyous time where we remember the birth of baby Jesus, I will never forget a young mother coming by where we were eating with a little baby in her arms. The pastor's wife brought the mother to us. The baby was very sick. And the pastor's wife explained to us that this mother was addicted, as many people are in some of those little hill country villages, to opium, and wasn't able to provide milk for this dear little baby. The baby was horribly ill. And on this Christmas day, I can remember our youth praying for this baby, pouring out pockets, as you often do yourselves when you're on those trips, and providing money so that the pastor's wife could go buy formula and take care of this little one. But I remember thinking of the irony on that Christmas day as we were celebrating the birth of Jesus, thinking this is not the way it's supposed to be for a baby. The future for this little baby does not look good. And then I got to thinking about the baby Jesus. Neither did his future look so good. And the passage that I want to encourage you to read with me today is in Luke 2. Luke 2. And I'm going to have to stick these glasses on. It's part of the Christmas story in Luke, part of the infant narrative in Luke, one that we don't often read at Christmas time. Starting with verse 21, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus,
the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or a young two pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the baby Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Luke, after talking about the shepherds, this joyous, joyous time as the shepherds came and saw Jesus, turns right to the next step. The next step, making very sure that we understand that Mary and Joseph followed the laws, that Mary and Joseph did what every good Jew would do. On the eighth day, Jesus was circumcised. And then, the law required that on the 40th day after the birth, mothers got a little maternity leave time from going to worship for a while. But on the 40th day, there was to be a purification ceremony at the temple. The mother was to go to Jerusalem. And at the same time, Luke says, they brought Jesus. Jesus, the firstborn son of Joseph and Mary, to be presented at the temple as every firstborn son had been presented throughout the history of God's time. The journey was about 6 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. I don't know how long it took them, but I'm sure they probably, with baby in hand and walking, could have very well taken them a good day's journey. Not much in the way of accommodations along the way. And they arrive in Jerusalem, where Herod's temple had been built. This magnificent, huge temple. And they come with baby Jesus to do what is required of them by the law. Mary for purification after giving birth. Jesus, baby Jesus, to be presented as the firstborn son of new parents. Holding this new gift of life. Going through the busy streets of Jerusalem,
and purchasing. Purchasing two doves. The poor man's sacrifice. Because the law required a lamb and a dove. But Mary and Joseph, as the law accommodated in their poor economic state, brought two doves to be sacrificed. And we can't let it slip by that on this celebrating time throughout heaven, Mary and Joseph made their way from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to sacrifice and to present Jesus in the temple. It was common, everyday stuff of worship and of community and of fulfilling what was required of Israel. And no one noticed. I find that so amazing. Going from Bethlehem, walking 6 miles up to Jerusalem, through the busy streets of Jerusalem, through the normal stuff of life, and no one noticed this incredible gift for you and for me. People were going about their normal activities, the normal stuff of life. They were going to Tyler Mall, shopping for presents. They were making trips down to Tom's Farms to buy the Christmas tree, going to Rogers Gardens to just marvel at all the decorations, enjoying friends and family and neighbors, and coming to worship and doing the things that community does. And no one noticed, except for in this story, after Joseph and Mary came and made the sacrifice, the sacrifice that held in it a promise of a Savior, of a Messiah, of one that would come to save all mankind. And they did it with baby Jesus in their arms. And the Bible says there was a godly man, filled with the Spirit, who had been longing for this day for so long. And God had promised him that he would not die. And so we assume he was probably older, but God had promised him that he would not die until he had seen the Savior. And so he made trips to the temple. I don't know how often, but the Spirit impressed him to be there that day. And as Mary and Joseph came bearing this newborn baby, doing the things, the average things of a community, fulfilling what they had to as good church-going people, Simeon was in the temple. You remember what we just read? His eyes lit up, and this baby, he saw, moved by the Spirit, he saw. And he took him in his arms, and he said, "Sovereign God, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servants in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Simeon saw what no one else did on that journey, and as people went about the routine of the temple, Simeon saw. He had eyes to see the salvation. He had eyes to see that at this magnificent time of birth and celebrating and the routine of worship, that the manger of Bethlehem was in the shadow of the cross, and that this child that Mary and Joseph held in their arms, and then he took in his arms, a spirit-filled man of God who had been longing and waiting, took this child, and he said, I've seen the salvation for all people, not just for Israel, not just for David's throne, but for all people, Gentiles, a light for revelation to all people. My eyes have seen. He saw what, and I love this passage and paragraph in Desire of Ages that talks about the story. The Shekinah had departed from the sanctuary, but in child of Bethlehem was veiled the glory before which the angels bow. This unconscious babe was the promised seed to whom the first altar at the gate of Eden pointed. This was Shiloh, the peace giver. It was he who declared himself to Moses as, I am. It was he who in the pillar of cloud and of fire had been the guide of Israel. This was he whom seers had long foretold. He was the desire of all nations, the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The name of that helpless little babe inscribed in the roll of Israel, declaring him our brother, was the hope of all fallen humanity. The child for whom the redemption money had been paid was to pay the ransom for the sins of the whole world. And Simeon saw and declared, I have seen the salvation. But then he went on, and this is the first time in the Gospel of Luke that we see that this child's future was not going to be without pain and suffering. And that this child, as our Savior, was coming to turn the world upside down and to reverse everything, where the first would be last and the last would be first. And that the poor and the needy mattered. Those that could only bring the two doves mattered. And that his presence as God with us was going to cause nations and people to have to make choices. And that from the time he was born, his destiny was to head towards the cross. It's not something we often talk about at Christmas time. In all the wonderful carols and reflection on this baby. We all love babies. They're so precious, so sweet, and so innocent. But Simeon spoke to Mary and to Joseph, and he spoke into the future of this baby. And he said, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, referring back to Isaiah 8 and 28. And to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And Mary, by the way, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon, a man who was attentive to the Spirit of God, who had studied Scripture, who knew God's prophecies, a man of much prayer, when no one else around him noticed, saw that this child was born for him. This child was born for you and for I. This child was born to save all of us. And it wasn't going to be easy for him. It wasn't going to be an easy path. It wasn't going to be an easy path for Joseph and Mary. And he spoke that as he held joyfully
this little child in his arms at the temple in Jerusalem, where two doves had just been sacrificed. This little baby Jesus, this baby Jesus who was going to, for each one of us, bring salvation. Simeon saw. He saw, he had the insight to see into the future, which was spirit-led, and held this baby and said, I have seen salvation. And he rejoiced, and he was at peace. And he said, all right, the longing of my heart has been fulfilled. I can die in peace now. Mary and Joseph in the temple. And then there's another older lady, Anna, who spent time worshiping, fasting, praying in the temple. She also saw, gave thanks, and spoke to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. An amazing story as God continues to use a young couple with a newborn baby, two older, saintly people, a man and a woman, who had attentively been looking forward, and they noticed, they saw. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and they saw. As people of God, in this baby, the salvation of the world. So many people had missed it. So many people had missed it. There had been travelers on the road on the way to Jerusalem. There had been people on the streets of Jerusalem. As Mary and Joseph made their way to the temple. There had been the pastors in the temple, the priests, who had performed the ceremonies with Mary and with baby Jesus, and they missed it. Simeon and Anna saw a child born for us, a child born for us, as Isaiah says unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and salvation will be his gift. Our Emmanuel, our God with us. I don't know what your week ahead holds. As you go about the routines of Christmas, the shopping, the gift buying, the worship. But as we spend these moments, these days, reflecting on baby Jesus, reflecting on this gift of Christmas, I encourage you to remember that the manger had in front of it a cross, that the manger had in front of it an incredible gift of salvation for you and for me, and a message to give to the world. And like Simeon, as we live in the grace of that gift, we can go out in peace and invite a world to live in peace at Christmas time. You pray with me. Our gracious God, At this Christmas time, we remember. We remember the stories of your birth, your coming to be with us, our Emmanuel, to live in our midst. Thank you for that gift. And God, as we leave today, may we leave in peace. May we leave in peace as Simeon did, knowing that our eyes have seen your salvation. And may we find much joy in that. Bless us with your peace. Amen.